K1, and it is a Monday morning, an opportunity to spend some time with the staff and management of the city of Bartlesville, and the city manager unable to make it in this morning, and so filling in, we'll talk money, and first the collection thereof, and then we'll get to the spending thereof in just a little bit. And first of all, Mike Bailey, nice to have you in this morning.
Good morning, Charlie. It's good to be in.
Happy to have you guys in here.
Ed sends his regrets to everybody. He, of course, wishes he could be here, but he couldn't make it today, so he sent the B team. Are we? Do you think we make it to the B league? I don't know.
Well,
C team, maybe.
You could be the new coach anyway. Yeah.
We're all we've got. That's
okay,
it.
Well, if this is what we have, then we'll make the best of it anyway. Thank you for coming in, guys.
Well, we're glad to be here, Charlie. Always.
The council approved the budget for the fiscal year, so
did.
Yeah, that means I believe the next step is send it to the governor.
That's it. It will. We will send that in to the state auditor, and I'm pretty sure that all he does with it is file it in a drawer, and that's it. They ensure that we have one. That's it.
But you get a letter back saying we got it, or you know some.
No, we
smoke
we
signals can, email.
No,
on a classified server.
I suspect they would let me know if they didn't get one, but when they do get one, I don't really hear anything. So I guess that's good. No news is good news.
I'll take that. That's fine. Built. Now we reported this before. It's not new. Your projection for the next fiscal year estimates about a 1.3% gain from sales tax collections over the course of the year.
Right, and that's probably the most important single assumption in the budget, because of course we build the budget based on the revenues and what monies we're going to have available, and then we allocate those out for the operations of the city. So sales tax is the most important single revenue source for the city for our general operations. Of course, general operations, we've talked about it before. It's fire, police, street, library. All of the things that the citizens think that the city does are pretty much funded with sales tax, with the exception of the utilities, and they're self-funding. We're looking at about a 1.3% increase next year, we think. Of course, we finished this year with about a 2.5% decrease. So even with that increase, we won't be back up to the level that we expected to be at this year. Had some unexpected events. We had the closing of Sears, the closing of Hastings. We had a few other smaller store closings, but those two were relatively significant. The local economy is struggling a little bit. So we really hope that when the new retail comes online over at Silver Lake Villages next to Lowe's, that'll make a big difference for us.
Well, and the council asked this question. I've heard you ask it before, or answer it before. But you're kind of, when they ask you to justify why 1.3%,
sure,
that you were bent talking about, as I recall, comparing a bad year to a bad year.
That's it. Right now, we're comparing each month. We're comparing back to a month when we actually had a Sears and we had a Hastings. By the time about halfway through this next fiscal year, we'll be comparing back to months when we didn't. And so it's sort of that we call it comparing bad apples to bad apples. It makes for so you that's kind of when you hit the trough at the bottom, and hopefully things start to turn around. Again, about the same time, that's when our new retail is supposed to come on. So those two factors combined are what give us confidence that we'll see an increase in sales tax over the next year.
And I know there are still more businesses to be announced as part of that development, but those are mostly restaurants.
So
while they will help in overall, the sales tax collections from a restaurant is not the same as somebody with big ticket items.
You're exactly right. Our biggest things are out of those big box stores. So, the Ross and those things that are going in out there, those are really the big items. The restaurants have not been announced. Phase one is under construction, as we've talked about. Phase two, it's still moving forward. As far as I've not heard anything different. And phase two, of course, contains an academy, and then there's about 18,000 square foot of retail outside of the academy that hasn't been announced yet. Mm-hmm. So there are still a few more stores that haven't been announced, and we're hopeful that'll happen soon.
Now, those brands, and this is not necessarily part of what you gave me, but I think it's important we talk about that just a little bit. The brands that have been announced, those were part of the names that came out of the Angelou study in general.
And that's a great point. The Angelou study is really what led us to retail recruitment, because one of the gaps in Bartlesville was that we did not have sufficient retail. Now, that was the things that people wanted. And so it actually was kind of a spinoff of the Angelou study. The BDA then commissioned a study, and that study focused on people who chose to live elsewhere. You know, they worked in Bartlesville, chose to live elsewhere. Why did you make that choice? And it really was able to boil it down to a few things. One of the most important was retail options. And as you said, it drilled down to the level, to the granular level of what brands do you want? And a number of these stores that are going into that were on that list. So that's great news for us.
For the, 270 degrees that are not south, we are still a regional shopping hub for folks in Independence, for Conkerville,
right,
for Pawhuska, for Nowata, right?
And that's a great point. Our market area starts about halfway between us and Owosso, and then it goes way north. And as you said, it spreads out as you go up north into Kansas. You know, of course, each store has its own market area. So for a Walmart, you're not going to drive to Bartlesville to get to Bartlesville's Walmart if you have one at home that's closer. So you can pretty much split the difference. If you're halfway to the distance to the next Walmart or Supercenter,
which
is about our
Walmart
market
Independence, so that would be the closest.
That's right.
Or Coffeyville.
And ours is, that is a great draw for us. The Walmart Supercenters really do draw people in. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, while they're here, they shop for other things. So it's it has been shown to have a positive impact on the city revenues all across the state of Oklahoma.
And I know, I have also talked to people who say, well, I have a monthly medical appointment in Bartlesville, and while I'm there, I'll shop here, there, or
that's
whatever.
Right.
You know.
We're a regional provider for a lot of things. We have retail, we have entertainment, we have shopping and dining, and of course we also have healthcare and a lot of the other things that are necessary for this region.
Water and wastewater rates. We got a change coming up, I believe, fairly soon.
We do. And so last year, the council adopted a five-year rate plan. And the purpose behind that rate plan, in fact, we'll get into it a little bit more with Terry here in a minute, but the purpose of that rate plan was to ensure that the utilities could support their operations and be self-funding. And then the other side was that there was some built-in capital expenditures for, I believe it was the new wastewater plant and the wastewater reuse, which is one, as I said, that's one of the reasons that Terry was here, was to talk about that project. But those are, so each year, we are in year two of that five-year plan. There will be slight increases in the wastewater and water rates. It's about 7.2% increase for the average utility customer for the water and wastewater combined. So that's what they should expect to see starting in July.
So I couldn't say what the average water bill for somebody in town is, but we're looking at something like a $10 to $15 increase then?
Well, the average person, I believe their bill is a little less than that without sanitation. There was no changes to the sanitation rates. So most people are probably seeing $60 to $70 on their water bill. So they could expect a 7% rate increase on that.
Okay. So that's what we're looking at within a couple of billing cycles then?
Yeah. Yep. You are correct. So within the next few bills, they'll start to see that. The first bill that they receive in July will have part of it at the old rate and part of it at the new rate. So
that'll be some questions for you.
It always is. we're ready for it.
So that's one thing. Anything else budget-wise as far as either what you see projection-wise, or if you want to continue to talk about the current fiscal year that we have not covered this morning?
Well, the great news is the budget's adopted. It is a plan for the next year, and of course any plan that stretches out a year is probably wrong, so we will have to adjust it as the year moves on. But I think it's a good budget plan. I think it was very conservative. There was really nothing new to it. We weren't in a great place as far as revenues went, so there's no new programs. But the good news is we were able to hold the programs that we had at the levels that they were at last year. So we're hopeful for this turnaround so that we can continue to grow the city services to meet the needs of our citizens.
Okay, well, I know that we're going to be talking capital improvements, but Mike is here to talk about that.
That's right.
Mike, just since you're adjacent, and we're not moving the microphone all the way across the table, first of all.
Uh-oh.
Mike, no, you're good. Micah, thanks for coming in this morning. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be here. Appreciate
and,
you having
a couple of things as far as capital budget. You, again, made a presentation to the council. When was it? Last week, I guess. Talking
was it
about
last week?
Seems like
was it just
maybe.
Last
week? It might have been, I guess, the workshop session we were talking 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Right.
But still, time flies when you're having fun talking about budgets.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
What can we expect over the next 12 to 18 months as far as CIP money?
Well, the biggest, we had just really a couple big ticket items. One of the major decisions that kind of council made as far as the capital projects was deciding between Hillcrest, redoing Hillcrest between essentially 18th and the Caney River, and between the east downtown drainage improvement project. So both of those projects in that $2.2 million range as far as construction costs, they both had similar engineering fees involved with the projects. And so they did select the drainage project downtown. So that's one we'll move forward with. So that's going to be the major project kind of for this next year. Should start design as soon as we can. Get on that here quickly so that we can have design completed, you know, possibly by the end of this year, and then get construction going next year, calendar year, and get on that project quickly. So that was kind of the biggest project that you'll see. There again, for the half cent, that was a large enough project, being $2.2 million. There wasn't a whole lot of money left over for additional projects. So we do have some money in there for police cars, replacing police cars. We're on that rotation there, replacing 7 cars each year. And really, as far as the half cent, that's about where the money went. So we do have some money in there for CDBG project. But
yeah, that drainage project really originates in the vicinity of the community center in Price Tower.
That's correct.
And then if I remember the map that was up on the projector screen correctly, kind of more zigzagging than I would think a sewer takes to get to eventually where it needs
it
to go.
It does. It kind of angles in a zigzag way, I guess, all the way to the Caney River. So we, about every couple blocks, will leapfrog over a block to the east and then head back, continue back on north. And it does. It kind of zigzags through downtown, basically making its way down to the river. So.
And, Michael, will that track the current alignment?
For the most part, yes. For the most part, yes. We may have some tweaks and modifications to it somewhat, but for the most part, it does track current alignment.
How do you, sewers, they tend to run along parallel to a street, somewhere along the line.
This is true. Downtown in this older area of town, obviously, we do have storm sewer kind of in the alleys, if you will, or in the streets. So it's kind of a combination of things, but the majority of the storm sewer is out in the street through this portion of town. And it's to alleviate drainage issues for around Price Tower and Community Center. We've got some drainage issues there. Flooding occurs occasionally with some of the heavier rains, and so we're trying to alleviate those issues with this project.
Will we see the progress more or less linear fashion starting at or close to the Community Center Price Tower, or will it be we're going to do this one because it disrupts traffic less and then come back and do this one?
No, it's going to be pretty linear in nature. Now, granted, as far as how this actually goes through construction, it'll sort of depend on the engineering plans and how what solution we come up with, I guess, if you will. But it will be pretty linear in nature. Typically, storm sewer and sanitary sewer projects, waterline projects, try to be linear in nature. So,
well, again, that would be my guess, but I don't claim to be a water engineer. I do pretty good with electrical wiring, but that's okay.
Right. Better than me. Get to the electrical side and I got problems.
I do an outlet.
Electrons are kind of like water flowing through pipe. You know, same general principles. You
know, true.
Yeah.
Sort of. Very much
kind. More, you know, you have Ohm's Law, or I have Ohm's Law, you have something else that works about the same way. It's still kind of, you know, the general nature of current flow is current flow.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But this, you know, sounds like you got some street projects coming up as well.
We do. We have a lot of street projects. You guys probably hear me whine about this every time I'm in here, I think. But the engineering department has been understaffed for some time.
You're
now.
You're a good natured whiner by and
way. We still like
it. I whine with a smile. I kind of whine with a smile. But so we've got really a backlog of projects that we're trying to chip away at right now. So we've got a lot of projects actually that were carried over. We've got Tuxedo still between Madison and the Caney River, which is going to be a large project. We've still got Price Road between Highway 75 and the roundabout. And then we're wrapping up some current fiscal year projects, doing some design on those and trying to get those out for construction. We've got a series of asphalt projects getting ready to kick off for construction around Jane Phillips Elementary School and around Wilson Elementary School. Try to get those done this summer. But then we do have a whole slew of new projects that came with the 2017 issuance of the 2012 GO bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got Sooner Park Road between Well, I'm not going to tell you where it's between. I don't have it on my notes here. We've got Center Park Rehab. We've got a fleet rehab on Fleetwood, kind of between Frank Phillips and Spruce. We've got Willow Creek and Arbor over in that kind of eastern side of town there between Hazel, I believe, and Adams. And we've got, let's see what else we have here. We have, man, we've got a whole slew of projects. We're gonna tear up town, really. Look through my notes here. We've got Choctaw still. That's a carryover project between Adams and Frank Phillips. New project also is Johnstone Rehab between 14th and 17th. It's a concrete panel project. And then we've got an asphalt project on Mountain Road between 2100 and basically the top of Circle Mountain. So that'll be that front entry into Circle Mountain that kind of winds up the road. We'll do a mill and overlay there. So we've got plenty of streets that we should make people happy by tearing up in the next year, really.
I'm sure there'll be some kind words said about it, yeah.
There will be. There will be.
I'm not sure what kind, but
maybe some tickets issued for people driving through barricades and things of that nature.
So. Everybody likes the end result. Nobody seems to appreciate the intermediate steps.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. But this is something then that this is like the street projects around the schools. You try to get those done while there's no school.
We are trying to, yes. We have actually a pre-construction meeting for those projects actually this week, and hopefully the contractor can get on those quickly, and we'd like to get those done before school starts to avoid that hassle and that headache for people. So again, we've got Spruce there around Wilson Elementary, and then we've got Rogers, Penn, and Lanham, essentially the east, west, and south sides of Jane Phillips Elementary School will be under construction this summer as well. So try to get those wrapped up before school starts back up.
And well, and yeah, and you mentioned one that was over along Frank Phillips, which, of course, the Will Rogers Center will be back in operation as the Paths to Independence School uses the Will Rogers facility this year.
Right, right. So we got Fleetwood through there, and actually we'll be working on design probably this year on that. You may not see that going to construction until next year. Just kind of depends on where the projects fall. Next calendar year, sorry.
That's all right.
Since we do have the overlap in calendar years here, so.
And I think sometimes people think calendar years much better than government fiscal years, so that kind of works out that way. Pathfinder, it's been in the news recently with some problems. You got some kudos from the city manager last Monday night for some prompt action and cooperation with local business.
Right, yes. Keith Henry with the Public Works Department, he did a great job coordinating with Bartlesville Ready Mix to get access behind their concrete plant there. And they did get a temporary, I guess, path open, trail open through there. Got that done quickly, and we'll be working on permanent solutions. So you guys looking around.
Sorry,
what's going on?
There's a flashing light. It looked a little bit like a fire alarm, but I couldn't hear anything. I think Charlie's messing with us.
All it is it's a silent indication for somebody in a studio that the phone's ringing. It's okay.
It's all right. No emergencies.
And
no emergencies.
Now I know.
Okay.
But we will be. We've got we've got a couple different projects, or I guess money is available for rehabilitation of Pathfinder and improvements to Pathfinder for this next fiscal year. So likely going to have to use some of those funds, I would think, for some of the washouts that we've had along the Canyon River and along Turkey Creek. But yes, great job with Keith Henry, and appreciate Bartlesville Ready Mix working with us to let us get in there and access their property and put in a temporary path through that area there on the river. So
upcoming work along the Pathfinder, anything that we need to let folks know about?
Nothing specifically that I'm aware of now. Like I said, we're kind of in the planning stages of figuring out where to use these funds for improvements, and again, some of it will go for these washouts, I'm sure, and to improve safety there along the river. And but no specific projects currently, but again, these funds are just set aside for kind of general improvements to the path. So we'll assess the needs and take a look at that, hard look at that, and figure out which projects we want to take on.
Well, going back to the Angelou, the Pathfinder, one of the good things people said about Bartlesville.
This is true. Yeah. This is true. It's a great resource. Yeah. So,
great asset for our community.
Great asset.
Well, let's see. Just any street closures we need to talk about either now or, let's say, till about the 4th of July or so?
No, like I said, the two projects that we've got coming up really as far as streets immediately are going to be these ones around Wilson Elementary and Jane Phillips. So we will have some closures there. There'll be some disturbance there, those streets. And then we also got a project kicking off on Skyline and Moonlight there in Hillcrest Heights area. And that was kind of the I guess, detour when we did the roundabout years ago. Mm-hmm. And so this money's been set aside from the 2012 GO bond to improve those streets. So there's concrete panel replacement jobs. So we'll have some closures in that area, in the Hillcrest Heights area. And then kind of piggybacked onto that project, we've got Sirocco up there in Oak Park, between Oak Park, I believe, and Virginia. And so we'll have some closures on that as well. Those two projects are linked together as part of one project. So those are the major closures we'll have coming up. We're wrapping up some things on the wastewater improvements project on Hensley. We've got some, actually the road's open back up. We do have still have some steel plate essentially over their concrete that they'd poured, so we can let that concrete set up. Mm-hmm. But that really should be the only closures we've got coming up currently. Still have the work on Highway 75, that ODOT work over the Turkey Creek, mm-hmm. there by Eastland. And not sure when that's going to be done yet still, but I think they are targeting here in the next. I mean, they've got some heavy incentives, I believe, to finish quickly. So they're working away on it. And so we'll probably see that for another month or two, closure okay. on that. So
well, a lot. We will entrust that the incentives will be enough of them to get the
so.
Job done as soon as possible.
Right. And they have been working quickly. It's gone fairly quickly.
Yeah, but I always try to get in here, though. This is not a city project.
That is correct.
Call Gary Wrigley or somebody.
That's right.
And we appreciate you putting that in there.
I don't have Gary's number handy, but if you Google Oklahoma Department of Transportation, you'll probably find him there.
That's right. That's right.
These guys will listen to everything you want to say, but they can't fix it.
Yeah. If you want to call Mike, and go right ahead. We don't mind at all.
Feel free to call me. Feel free to call.
Okay.
I'll give you his home phone and personal.
No,
cell phone.
No, don't do that.
If you want to
call. I don't have a home phone anymore. So
okay, I'll just give you his cell phone number.
There you go.
If you want to call my office, I'll
let
you know what it is.
Finding whether he's on vacation or at work, either way.
That's right.
It's going from that type of projects to somebody who knows all there is to know about water. Good morning, Terry.
Oh, good morning, Charlie. I wouldn't quantify it that way. Or intro it that way.
Okay. Well, let's start with, let's just, I know that this is something that's been going on. You've talked on Ed's program the last several installments somewhat about wastewater reuse, and you made a little comment to the council recently about that topic as well.
Well, I did, and it's and kind of just to refresh people's memories, we want to talk about water supply. This is really what wastewater reuse is getting into, is our water supply. And for people that have been around the area for some time, this really was triggered by a drought in 2001-2002.
Shower with a bucket,
yeah, where we really had an extended drought and our water supply was really down to less than 6 months worth of water. And that opened our eyes to look at what's the, obviously the Gila Lake is vulnerable to a drought, and that could compromise our ability to supply water during those types of conditions. And so they looked at what's some option for us to secure additional water rights to facilitate the city and its continued growth and expansion into the future. What we looked at is, and just to help people understand, is that we pull water from three sources currently. So we pull it from the Caney River, which is there at Johnstone Park. We pull it from Gila Lake, and then from Hudson Lake, which is a city-owned lake. So Gila Lake is a core-owned lake, Hudson's city-owned, and then the river is actually the original water supply for the city. But Gila Lake is really the large store of water for us. So it has over 70% of our water that we use on or potentially could use on a daily basis. The Caney River is our next largest water supply, is at 19%. And then Hudson Lake, which is a really small lake, is less than 10% of the water that we could use for that. Mm-hmm. And so based on that 2001-2002 drought, several studies were done that looked at how much water are we forecasted to use, what is the how much water is going to be in Gila Lake over time because of sedimentation, and seeing where those merge and what's some of the options for us in the future. But what the end result was is that Gila Lake was really insufficient for us for the next 50 years. We'd have to get additional water to move forward or to supply our potential demands during that time. And so they looked at various water sources, area lakes from Copan, Kaw Lake, Ooligah, Skytook, and looking at the most cost-effective way to supply the water for us. And really what they arrived at was to buy additional water rights at Gila Lake, but then to buy new water rights at Copan Lake. And so that was the option that would get us for the next 50 years, and that was kind of the path that we were going to move forward with back in 2007. And then when we started looking at what the cost of that would be to purchase those water storage agreements through the Corps of Engineers, that kind of deflated our sales a bit.
And I understand the Corps has been reevaluating some of the things they've been saying to us recently.
They have, and really the Corps uses is a federal law that establishes a formula to calculate those storage rights. In the early 80s is when we bought water rights last at Hula Lake, and we paid $68 per acre foot. In the late 80s, the formula changed through federal legislation, and the current rate for water storage fees is $1,600 per acre foot.
Big change.
Huge change. And so if we implemented that plan that we came up with back in the late or 2007, 2006 type of scenario, we'd pay over $55 million in just water storage rights to in essence buy a piece of the bucket. And that doesn't get the water to us as far as to the water plant. So then we would have to spend another $35 million roughly to get the water to the treatment plant so we could treat it and send it to the customers. So that was over a $90 million type of scenario. And like many utilities, we're a pass-through on our fees and capital expenses and such. And so council at the time just said that's just not a viable option for us. We just aren't going to increase people's water rates to facilitate that sort of plan. And so what we've been working on really for the last 10 years is try to get federal legislation to change the formula or to provide some relief from the formula. And we've had some successes as far as getting the ball further to the line, but we have yet to get the ball into the end zone to actually change the formula or to get some sort of relief for that pricing. But that's something that we've worked on and that we're going to continue to work on until we can get something tangible for it.
That's one reason why we're working so hard on the water reuse.
That's right. Yeah, and it's really recently the Oklahoma legislature approved a law or passed a law that encouraged water reuse and asked the state environmental Department of Environmental Quality to adopt rules to facilitate and encourage water reuse. And Bartlesville has a unique situation in that our wastewater plant sits less than a quarter mile downstream of our raw water, our pump structure on the Caney River just next to Kitty Park. And that's a unique scenario in the sense that we're very, very close to using or looking at what they call an indirect potable reuse type of scenario. And so what indirect potable reuse is that we would pump the treated wastewater upstream of the Caney River, let the river and that wastewater kind of blend and kind of do its dance there, and then we would pick it back up there at the Caney River, pump it back to the water treatment plant, treat it, and then send it on for our customers to use. And so we've been working on that really in earnest for the last year, looking at the feasibility of that. And so the feasibility is in essence looking at how much can we divert as far as that treated wastewater upstream to the Caney River, and you know what the river will in essence assimilate without creating any negative or detrimental environmental impacts river wise and so that effort continues to move forward with it. Kind of during that process, we were awarded here or notified of an award last month of a grant through the Bureau of Reclamation for $150,000 for that feasibility study. So that won't pay for the entire study. That's about a $400,000 study, but it does provide us some financial relief as we continue to pursue that study. And so we are moving forward with that. We are moving forward with talking to the state and how they're going to interpret some of the laws and some of the things that they have in place on water reuse. And, you know, because each one's a very unique scenario. Mm-hmm. But one of the good things that we've had kind of during this time is that the state has yet to develop rules for a potable reuse type scenario. And so one of the things we wanted to get clarification or guidance from them on is, would they consider our plan a potable reuse scenario, which mm-hmm. They came back and said no. Oh. They would consider that just a standard wastewater discharge. So that's important for us because we don't have to wait for the state to develop rules and to pass rules to move forward with that. So we're really kind of full steam ahead to develop this plan and to move forward with it. But what we'll continue to do over the next year is looking at what the river can assimilate, what kind of treatment we'll have to do to get the volume or the amount of water that we need upstream to reuse, and then kind of going through the state's permitting process for wastewater discharge. In conjunction with that, we're also going to do a separate study on what they call a contaminant of emerging concern, or contaminants of emerging concern. So these are non-regulated constituents that that nobody tests for. As far as the EPA, you're not required to test or to monitor those, but we want to understand what's going on. And those contaminants of emerging concerns are what they call personal care products. So they're pharmaceuticals, they're hormones, caffeine, those types of products, but they're also pesticides, looking at aerosols, things that are in the basically the one part per trillion. So very, 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 very trace elements in there. But we're going to look at that as well to see what's in our source water currently, what's in our discharge as far as at the wastewater treatment plant, and to understand if we need to change maybe some of the treatment that we do at either the wastewater plant or the water plant to facilitate that.
One question that called in, this actually I think goes to probably to Micah, but as far as I'm not sure it's the best person at the table, but you're the closest I got today. The caller wanted to know, are we going to put the part of the Pathfinder that was disrupted back into use at some point in time?
We will at some point, yes, at some point in time. So the I assume they're talking behind...
Behind the concrete plant, I believe.
Yeah, so yes, that is part of the plan. We did a temporary kind of trail right now, and then we will reinforce that bank, stabilize that bank, and then take the path back through where it was. So,
okay, that's the City Matters program on this Monday morning. Thanks so much.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville. And